Welcome to The Onion on Sun Sounds of Arizona, Arizona's reading station. My name is Frank Sheelan. It'll be my pleasure to be your volunteer radio reader for the next 30 minutes. The Onion is a parody of news and commentary and contains material that some people will find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. Today's top story, Trump sues Safeway Circular for false ham claims, Dateline Washington. In an escalation of his ongoing feud with the press, White House sources confirmed this week that President Donald Trump was suing the Safeway Circular for false ham claims. The deceptive Safeway flyer peddles lies about the dry and chewy Krakus Polish honey ham being both tender and juicy, the president told reporters aboard Air Force One, explaining that he was seeking $20 billion in damages from the grocery coupon publication and its editor-in-chief for what he described as a shocking hoax. The Safeway Circular has treated me very badly. They say you can taste the homestyle difference, but you cannot. And there's no way that ham can be $8.99 per pound after I brought grocery prices to an all-time low. However, that's nothing compared to the horrendous ham prices we saw under Biden. Trump added that he planned to launch a sales flyer of his own that would represent lunch meat without bias, spotlighting only succulent, hickory-smoked American hams. Next, Trump still polling well with working-class American pedophiles, Dateline Washington. Despite the president's sagging approval rating overall, a Gallup poll released Tuesday confirmed that Donald Trump's support remained overwhelmingly strong among working-class American pedophiles. Even though his polling numbers among Americans who are not sexually attracted to children have hit a second-term low, the president's approval rating is still an impressive 80% among child rapists with household incomes between $30,000 and $80,000. Said polling analyst Lily Willis, explaining that Gallup's results indicated that Trump's agenda still spoke to the large number of Americans primarily concerned with kitchen table issues like whether or not they'll be able to afford 13-year-old prostitutes. For sexual predators who molest kids paycheck to paycheck, Trump's promise to jumpstart the economy with tariffs remains extremely popular. Furthermore, the recent trend of lower gas prices has significantly eased the financial burden on pedophiles whose sex crimes often rely on trafficking children across state lines. Interestingly, while the poll demonstrated that Trump's support has softened among rapists more broadly, his approval rating remains safely above water among the demographic of epiphiles, those who, like Trump himself, are sexually attracted to teenagers. At press time, Democratic strategists were reportedly looking for new ways to appeal to the essential pedophile voting bloc to avoid a disastrous midterm election. Next, Trump gives Russia a 10-day deadline to end Ukraine. Dateline Edinburgh, Scotland. Shortening the 50-day deadline he had previously given Vladimir Putin to put a stop to the war-torn country, President Donald Trump told reporters Monday that he was now giving the Russian leader just 10 or 12 days to end Ukraine once and for all. "I'm disappointed in President Putin, who has failed to halt his horrible country, letting it drag on and on," said Trump, announcing that he would impose steep secondary tariffs on Russia should the civilian population of Ukraine still exist in any capacity in 2 weeks. "We cannot let this conflict continue any longer, so I'm giving Russia a hard but frankly generous deadline to discontinue all human life in Ukraine and leave behind a peaceful, completely uninhabited salt flat. This is the last time I'm going to say it. Putin, finish the job." Trump also urged Putin to meet with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in person and shoot him in the back of the head. Next, "I used to work here," said P. Pete Buttigieg wandering onto busy highway. Dateline Traverse City, Michigan. Casually strolling from the shoulder of the road into traffic, former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg reportedly spoke the words, "I used to work here Thursday morning," as he wandered onto a busy highway near his home. "Hey guys, remember me?" Buttigieg said while flashing a grin and waving cheerfully at a bus on U.S. Route 31, where dozens of cars and trucks swerved around him, their drivers shouting expletives and honking their horns. "These are my old stomping grounds. It was the first real job I ever had, you know. These white dotted lines haven't changed one bit. Hey, why is everyone in such a hurry? Doesn't anyone want to come say hi? I brought fresh gasoline." Buttigieg was then seen crossing over to the median, where he shook a hoof and introduced himself to a large piece of bloody roadkill. Next, Trump announces $175 billion Rosie O'Donnell defense system. Dateline Washington. In a sudden escalation of his feud, with the American-born, Ireland-based former talk show host, President Donald Trump announced Monday that he had signed an executive order allocating $175 billion to build an anti-Rosie O'Donnell defense system across the entire United States. "We're building the greatest Rosie defense network the world has ever seen," said Trump, adding that the order he signed included $80 billion to develop a missile capable of neutralizing an O'Donnell-sized target from hundreds of miles away. "With thousands of drones patrolling our coast and using highly sensitive listening equipment to monitor any awful things she says about me, Nasty Rosie's reign of terror has come to an end. She should think twice before ever hosting a talk show again, or risk total annihilation." At press time, the Pentagon had issued an apology after one of its test missiles mistakenly struck Roseanne Barr. Next, Trump urges supporters to move on from societal disdain for pedophilia. Dateline Washington. Facing mounting backlash from his MAGA base over his perceived ties to the Jeffrey Epstein case, President Donald Trump reportedly encouraged his supporters Monday to simply move on from society's widespread disdain from pedophilia. "It's time to just accept that some people like having sex with kids and focus on the fantastic things we're doing to win back the respect of the world," said Trump, who expressed frustration that instead of celebrating the passage of his domestic spending bill or historic deportation numbers, many of his supporters were getting distracted by something that people have done since ancient Greece. "Are people really still talking about the sexual abuse of children? Let it go. Our administration is making America great again. That's the story, not whether I or anyone else diddled an underage girl. The case is closed. Sometimes kids get molested. Maybe they shouldn't dress like such sluts." Trump went on to state that he has had many pedophilia friends and associates over the years who have been fine, hardworking Americans. Next, DOJ removes all mention of justice from website. Online content promoting justice impartiality undergoes total purge. Dateline Washington. In the latest of a series of escalations in President Donald Trump's highly publicized war on woke, the U.S. Department of Justice reportedly removed all mentions of justice from its website Friday. The purge follows a directive from the DOJ last week to roll back pro-justice programs and delete thousands of web pages that contain banned words, including fairness, integrity, due process, and honor. Citing an executive order from the president, Attorney General Pam Bondi directed her department to comb through all of its articles, images, videos, and social media posts to remove any un-American leftist propaganda related to upholding the rule of law, keeping the nation safe, or protecting citizens' rights. "Justice is a discriminatory form of woke culture Marxism," and has no place in our Justice Department, Bondi said during a press conference, adding that pro-justice policies actively divided Americans, spread misinformation, and distracted from the DOJ's core mission. Anyone who says that justice is our department's strength, or that we should promote dangerous ideals that imply Americans will be treated with dignity or compassion in the eyes of the law, is sadly mistaken. Thanks to Donald Trump, justice is dead, she added, and this is just the beginning. According to a memo issued by Bondi, officials were given 1 week to search through the vast DOJ archives and purge historical photographs, educational articles, and even training courses that describe, for example, how U.S. attorneys' offices have fought for everyday Americans and upheld their basic rights. They were also instructed to comb through the vast archives of the department's antitrust, civil rights, criminal, and environmental divisions to flag any instance in which the agency wielded its power to hold a powerful person, corporation, or government agency accountable. The Trump administration praised the Justice Department's swift and thorough compliance, including its decision to fire hundreds of morally obsessed employees who were in any way associated with upholding the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, the Americans with Disabilities Act, or the Judiciary Act of 1789. Joe Biden held the DOJ hostage with his woke agenda for 4 years, forcing us to have a functional legal system, said Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina, adding that the department's website should have never contained blatantly partisan photos of things like federal courts, gavels, or the scales of justice. This is a government agency, and I don't think its website should be hijacked by liberals to brainwash people into thinking that all men are created equal or that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Trump fired anyone who believed in justice, Graham continued, and frankly, I hope he throws them all in jail. Bondi acknowledged that amid the urgency to remove offending materials, several articles describing the DOJ's role in acts of injustice, evil, and unbridled terror have been deleted inadvertently. As soon as the mistake was noticed, however, such materials were quickly restored, including those that praised the department for using COINTELPRO to destabilize the civil rights movement, expanding warrantless surveillance under the Patriot Act, and defending Japanese internment camps during World War II. Many pieces of content that had previously highlighted a victim of violence, oppression, or hate crime, overcoming injustice, or earning a hard-fought legal victory had also reportedly been changed to show them losing their case, being sentenced to life in prison, and ultimately regretting speaking up or resisting at all. Lady Justice is a symbol of the radical woke left and does not in any way represent our values, said Bondi, adding that citizens were sick and tired of having fair-mindedness and even-handedness shoved down their throats. The American people have historically preferred to stand on the sidelines and stay silent in the face of injustice. In these first few months of Donald Trump's second term, they have proved that again and again. Bondi added, "You can rest assured we won't stop until we eliminate justice across the entire federal government." Next, Texas politicians use burner email to request FEMA funds, Dateline Austin. In an effort to avoid humiliating themselves in front of their fellow conservatives, elected officials in Texas used a burner email to request funds from the Federal Emergency Management Agency following last week's devastating floods, sources reported Thursday. I set up an anonymous account, floodmoney@hotmail.com, and shamefully requested more than $70 million in disaster assistance for Texans, Governor Greg Abbott admitted in a private conversation, saying he used a browser in incognito mode and typed discreet in the subject line. Asking for handouts to assist grieving families is really embarrassing. So I looked over my shoulder constantly while writing the email and asked FEMA to put the money on prepaid cards that victims could easily cut up afterwards. I'm confident no one will find out about our state's disgraceful need for food and shelter because I wrote delete after reading at the end of the message. Of course, I also destroyed my laptop once I was done. At press time, Texas officials reportedly remained too ashamed of the funds to distribute them to any of their constituents. Next, Oreo and Reese's team up to sicken dogs, Dateline East Hanover, New Jersey. Unveiling a much-anticipated collaboration they said fans have long been waiting for, the makers of Oreo and Reese's announced Thursday that the two iconic brands of sweets have teamed up to sicken dogs. The savory, aromatic peanut butter of our new treat lures the dogs in, while the chocolate coating and cookie pieces poison them out, said Oreo spokesperson Tracy King, adding that both Oreo Reese's cookies and Reese's Oreo cups were perfect for leaving on the edge of the kitchen table, just within reach of your pet. It's Oreos and Reese's like you've never seen them before, being pumped out of your dog's stomach at a costly vet appointment. The beloved snacks are a natural pairing because Oreos make dogs sick and Reese's also make dogs sick. These things are loaded with so much chocolate they could take down a Great Dane. Your dog will want to eat the whole bag, but may be violently ill and forced to leave a few for you. In a press release, Oreo and Reese's announced, the tagline for the new product is, "We will kill your dog." Next, CDC recommends eating a nice crispy apple, shiny apple, instead of having unprotected sex, Dateline Atlanta. Claiming that the experience could provide as much satisfaction as unsafe sex, a new report released by the Centers for Disease Control this week recommends Americans eat a nice shiny apple instead of having unprotected intercourse. What we are finding is that the risk associated with irresponsible sexual acts far exceed those of chomping on this delicious fruit, said CDC Director Susan Monterez, adding that it took the same amount of effort to chew and savor a ripe Honeycrisp apple as it did to remove a condom and raw dog, a lover to completion. When compared to individuals who engage in unprotected sex, those who consume apples have far lower rates of genital warts. While it is true that eating an apple too quickly may result in temporary abdominal pain, the risks associated with gonorrhea are far worse. The message is clear. If you're considering going to a bathhouse to have anonymous sex with multiple partners, make the smart choice and try a Granny Smith instead. The CDC also announced plans to distribute free apples in high schools around the country using money saved from cutting sex education programs. Next, Big Lots closes all stores after a therapist helps company work through hoarding tendencies. Dateline Columbus. Finally closing the doors on its last remaining outlet after getting rid of an unwieldy stockpile of variety goods, the discount retailer Big Lots ceased operations Wednesday following a therapy program in which the company's roughly 30,000 employees confronted their self-destructive hoarding tendencies. In retrospect, it's almost funny that I had so many throw pillows, said Big Lots CEO Bruce Thorne, letting out a long sigh of relief in the now empty store that was finally free of the dusty, disorganized piles of junk he had been hanging on to just in case. Now, I know there's just no reason to hold on to that massive collection of birdseed, kitchenware, cordless hair clippers, patio furniture, and ladies' pajama sets, even if all was an unbeatable deal. During my third month working with my therapist, Dr. Bloom, I had a breakthrough. I realized my mother would always grow distant after offloading boxes of bargain goods she'd acquired from nearby manufacturers' excess inventory sales. After that session, I was finally able to step back and see I had 901 stores full of stuff I just didn't need. At press time, manic Big Lots employees were spotted rushing the dumpsters around the country and insisting they had to keep all of those seasonal decorative wreaths. Next, study finds refreshingly low amount of shovel violence, Dateline Baltimore. Describing the data as good news in an otherwise troubling area of research, a study released Wednesday by the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health found a refreshingly low amount of shovel violence across the country. Despite high levels of shovel ownership in the United States, what we are seeing is an encouragingly low number of violent incidents involving spades or round point shuffles, said the study's lead author, Elizabeth Lopes, noting that reports of the tool's use in smackings, wallopings, and bonkings remained rare. Even during peak winter season, the chance of a child getting their hands on a snow shovel and accidentally decapitating a playmate was extremely low. There is still some shovel violence, but don't get us wrong. What we have found is that there are almost zero cases of disturbed individuals going into a school and carrying out mass thwackings over the backs of people's heads. Lopes cautioned that while the findings were positive for long-handled garden tools, further research was needed on trowel homicide rates. Next, Dunkin' announces they no longer have heart to charge people for such depressing meals, Dateline Canton, Massachusetts. Stressing that whatever garbage they have on their menu couldn't possibly be better than what Americans had at home, Dunkin' officials announced Monday that they no longer have the heart to charge customers money for such horrible, depressing meals. While we take pride in our brand's popularity across 43 states, we cannot in good conscience let the public pay for one more completely pathetic sausage and cheese croissant, said Dunkin' CEO David Hoffman, adding that their greasy, miserable excuse for breakfast was often sitting out for hours before being carelessly tossed in a microwave and reheated by pressing a button labeled egg. There is nothing in this world that can justify having you waste your hard-earned money on snackin' bacon. When you purchase a wake-up wrap, it feels like we're preying on someone who has reached rock bottom. Please, stop buying our food. You deserve better. At press time, Hoffman reportedly urged anyone considering ordering a distressing Dunkin' meal to just put their credit card away and take it for free. Now it's time for Onion Sports. Mavericks GM trades away all of team's basketballs, Dateline Dallas. In a move already being described as one of the most surprising transactions in NBA history, Dallas Mavericks general manager Nico Harrison confirmed Tuesday that he had traded all of the team's basketballs to the Brooklyn Nets in exchange for cash considerations. Sometimes you have to make hard decisions to position your franchise for success, and we felt that parting with our entire inventory of basketballs was the right call for the future of this organization, Harrison said at a press conference during which he repeatedly emphasized the long-term value of creating space ball-wise and defended his choice to include a conditional 2027 first-round draft pick to complete the deal. Asset flexibility in this league is more important than ever, and when we saw an opportunity to offload all of our basketballs, we couldn't say no. We wish the basketballs all the best in Brooklyn. At press time, many Mavericks fans were taking to social media to lament the fact that the basketballs would be spending their best bouncing years with another club. Next, Geneva Open introduces ice courts. Are frozen surfaces the future of tennis? Dateline Geneva. Saying frost-covered courts heralded a new direction for the sport, officials from the Geneva Open defended Monday their decision to hold a tennis tournament on ice. The state-of-the-art ice courts at the Tennis Club de Genève will allow for more strategic play as athletes try to avoid slipping and falling while serving, returning, or even just walking to their bench before the match, grounds manager Sophia Blazer said of the 250-level event, which failed to crown a winner after nearly 100 singles and doubles players were sidelined by injuries suffered during the tournament. Since we are the only facility in the world currently using the surface, it is only natural that athletes will take some time to adjust to the slippery below-freezing conditions necessary to maintain the ice, she continued. It's similar to players learning to slide on clay, except in this case they keep sliding until they eventually slam into a fixed part of the stadium, which breaks their momentum. They're also not used to the way the ice makes the ball wet, heavy, and freezing to the touch. But they will be in time. Ahead of next year, we'll be doubling our fleet of Zambonis, outfitting the ball kids with spike shoes, and allowing the players extra time between points to blow-dry the ball. At press time, Norwegian Casper Ruud was already being hailed as an ice court specialist based solely on his time spent in the Scandinavian tundra. Now it's time for American Voices. High Noon recalls vodka seltzers mislabeled as Celsius. Certain 12-packs of Celsius energy drinks have been recalled after a packaging error led them to contain High Noon vodka seltzer instead, posing a risk of unintentional alcohol ingestion. What do you think? Jake Squires, elevator tester. I'd hate to do damage to my liver when I was just trying to do damage to my heart. Teresa Vo, kazoo tuner. Someone could have accidentally ingested a calorie. Sam Bell, fruit peeler. And here I was thinking my SSRIs finally started working. That concludes another edition of The Onion here on Sun Sounds of Arizona, Arizona's reading station. My name is Frank Sheeland. It's been my pleasure to be your volunteer radio reader for the last half hour. And until next time, be well.